This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
I was thinking about talking about this on the podcast, so here we are. We're doing it. And if it's lame, Sherry, you can delete all of
this. Okay. All right. I will do that.
I'm really struggling with loving some people. And that's a big deal. I mean, a really big deal. And these are professing believers whom I feel have wronged me.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have to deal with that.
Uh-huh.
And so I am. But it's occurred to me recently, looking over some of the Bible, like, it's not okay to live in that space.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't love people, I have, as I read one person say, disfellowshipped myself from the church.
Wow.
Like, we're way into, there's a lot of people, not us necessarily, but there's a lot of people are way into, well, that's heresy, that's wrong, this is wrong teaching, and that's, and some stuff is, you know.
Right.
It happens. But the biggest heresy is for me to hate somebody.
That's true.
Based on scripture itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you don't love, you don't know God.
You have no part of him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to love one another, and this is the distinguishing characteristic of a believer. If I don't love, I'm not a believer.
Right.
Same thing goes for everybody else who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to make excuses for ourselves. I know this, so that's why I've been praying for these people.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult. I don't even know what to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm open to suggestions.
Well, typically you know something, you do know about people. Like, you know what their own personal struggle is, what their issues are a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
I'm happy to list those back to God if you want to.
Well, the thing is, like, when you get involved, and I struggle with this too, when you get involved with that, someone has wronged you in some way, then it's very easy that, you know, it's all about how you've been wronged. Whereas if you can step back and look at the set of circumstances that this person is dealing with, the quote unquote cards they've been dealt, and kind of get that feeling of, okay, I see where they're coming from. This is what they really
need. Right, that's true.
This is why they did that. This
right.
It really, because a lot of times it doesn't even have anything to do with me.
No, it doesn't.
You know what I mean?
No, it totally doesn't. And pre-exists and will post-exist.
Exactly.
Whatever
and a whole
interaction
bunch of other people in their lives are dealing with it because, and that's the things that I've had to say to myself, this isn't just you.
No.
This is how they live. And that has to be miserable for them, and that has to be miserable for anyone connected to them.
And I have thought a lot about this stuff and been writing about it, about reminding ourselves, like, this victim narrative that we'll put ourselves in isn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even trust our judgment.
Mm-hmm.
We're worse sinners than whoever we're judging.
Mm-hmm.
This said, it's only been recently that it's dawned on me and had been pointed out to me, like, if the degree of the problem, if you don't love this person,
mm-hmm.
it's not okay.
Right.
It's
not just unfortunate.
It's life and death.
Yeah. Wow.
So, like, I don't know that we always take it that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
We're so into, it's easier for us to believe in truth and doctrine and then disfellowship people or believe in heresy because they don't believe the right stuff.
Right.
Than it is to say, actually, what the Bible says is if you don't love, then you don't know God and you don't belong.
Wow.
So.
It's that major.
It is that major. And there's not an option. There's not an option for me to pray for these people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to, and it's a good reminder. Think about the cards they're dealt, and I have to not only pray for them to be blessed, but to want, first step to me is actually pray that God will bless them, and then hopefully my heart gets softened as I do that.
It will, yeah, because if you're waiting, I could say this from experience, if I can't wait for a heart change, I have to do it. Because he said do it. I have to do it because I love him and I want to be obedient to what the word says.
Right.
And then it is supernatural and it is the fruit of the spirit when I'm then able to love this person that I know has offended me and wronged me in every possible way. Then God gets glory and I don't.
By the way, when people say, well, if you're forgiving it, it just means that it's okay. Like, no, that's the opposite of what forgiveness means.
Right.
You don't forgive something, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness means there's a price to be paid. It's just paid again by the forgiving person. The mm-hmm. forgiver has to pay the price. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I'm willing to pick up the tab for this.
Right.
That is a truly Jesus-like thing to do mm-hmm. as somebody who'd never sinned and picked up the tab for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just extremely hard.
Hi, this is author Frank Viola from the Christ Is All podcast at frankviola.org. You're listening to the Brant and Sherry Show, which I highly endorse, especially the parts where Sherry's talking and Brant is listening. Enjoy the show.
Here's another news item that I haven't read. I don't have time. I got things going on.
Yeah, like this.
Kraken.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Brant's got it on and Kraken.
Yeah, so what, it's about men in height and divorce?
Yeah, they did a study and they say short men were found to marry later in life than average or tall men, but were 32% less likely to divorce.
Well, short guys are more likely to stay married
yes.
once they get married.
Yes, they marry later in life, but they stay married because it says once they're married, they do like housework and a lot more to compensate for
what
their height.
Yeah,
that's what this says.
What?
Yeah. And then tall men were found to marry sooner in life, but were more at risk for divorce later on.
I can't fathom that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Really?
Short guys do more. I mean, there's multiple stories here.
Different angles we can attack this.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it says...
It threatens me, too, because I've been married for a long time, and mm-hmm. I'm tall. I am, because the national average is 5'9", and I'm 5'10".
Rant.
So as a tall man, I don't know how I feel about this.
I can tell you how to feel about it.
Because the insinuation is that we tall guys don't do housework, A, which is true, but B, that we can't have long marriages, and I've got one.
You do.
So,
but you're not really tall.
I feel, and you guys who are really tall will understand me, because we're part of kind of a fraternity together, but I don't buy it. I don't buy the whole thing. So.
You don't, as a tall man.
No, we tall guys, we reject this from way up here. One of the things I think that stops us from doing a lot of really important stuff, it's weird because we only get weird about really important stuff in some cases, is thinking that God will do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to really important stuff, like feeding the hungry, caring for the sick.
Mm-hmm.
I work for Cure International. They run hospitals around the world just for disabled children to do, you know, surgical procedures mm-hmm. for correctable conditions so that kids are able to run and play.
Mm-hmm.
What can happen is people look at a picture of a kid and they say, yeah, there's the need. But if I don't do it, I mean, if God wills this child to run, he'll make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds so righteous, so true, but it's not.
Right.
For whatever reason, God allows us to be involved in things, and he tells us to be involved in things.
He wants us to be, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the idea that, oh, well, it'll happen without me. Are you telling me if God wants it to happen, it's not going to happen if I don't do it? Yep.
Right.
Yes, I am. It's weird because we're not that way about other things. Like, hey, I just broke both my arms. Do you want me to call the ambulance? No. If God wants an ambulance to come by,
it'll show up.
It'll show up. Yeah. Or I can be looking at, I'm looking in the kitchen right now or sit on the back patio, but mm-hmm. I can see my toaster. Like there's two pieces of bread sticking up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brant, if you want to toast that, you're going to have to hit this lever. If God wants this toast toasted, he will
himself.
Hit the lever.
Yes.
So everything we do in our day
takes human interaction.
It takes us.
Right.
We don't wait for God to do it. And then when it comes to really important things, I think we will kid ourselves
mm-hmm.
in order to justify any number of things, our laziness, our selfishness, our
right.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird we get that way about the most important things.
That's true. The things that really matter.
Right.
Because as you get older, I feel like, and maybe this is happening to you too, as I get older, I'm starting to realize some things really matter, some things don't.
Right.
And the things that really, really matter, yes, I want to be a part of that. Like, as you get older, I hope, you're like, man, I want the things that matter, I want to be there. I want to be in the mix with that.
You want to be in the mix with it because you want to align your heart with where God is too.
Right.
The other thing is the idea that, wait a second, if I don't give money, like, and I'm going to use Cure as an example because I'm wound up about them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm aligning my career with them.
Right.
if you get involved to help heal a child, mm-hmm. that child gets healed.
Mm-hmm.
Or the next one does, however they fund it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, child doesn't.
Right, right.
So, and for whatever reason, God allows us to actually freely matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, well, why would God, I don't understand it all,
mm-hmm.
but he does.
And count it as a blessing. I get to do
this. It is. And you, it, look, you matter. Your lack of action matters.
Mm-hmm.
Your action matters. Would you want it any other way? I mean, it's kind of boring if it doesn't.
True.
But the stakes are genuinely high. This is not a guilt trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity. What you do actually matters. You do a lemonade stand. We've had kids doing that. They raise mm-hmm. money and they heal a kid. You did that.
Right.
It's not like somebody else is coming along because there's always a plan B.
Mm.
And I can't remember who said it, but like God's plan A is us,
mm-hmm.
and there is no plan B.
Wow.
So there is a lot at stake. But boy, we get weird about our theology when it comes to the actual important stuff so that we can justify not doing something. Man, it matters. Difference between cardboard and running and playing is you. I want to talk more about Lord of the Rings. I think that's key for a successful podcast.
Why? Haven't nailed down those reasons why it's important.
Haven't nailed down the reasons why it's important yet. But well, I think it's key to success. I think we talked about Lord of the Rings at the beginning. We were number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're like number six.
Okay.
And I think it's because of that. So let's talk about Lord of the Rings. There's not a single situation. I was thinking about doing a Lord of the Rings devotional. There's not a life situation you can't mention that I can't take Lord of the Rings and make a devotional point out of it. That's my thesis.
I don't know. Lord of the Rings is...
It covers everything.
Relevant every day.
Name one like human problem.
Okay.
And I'll solve it with Lord of the Rings. Go
problems
ahead.
With coworkers.
Yeah. People like Gimli and Legolas hated each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they made it work because they found that together, like working together, they can solve big problems.
Yeah, but only people who know or are enamored with Lord of the Rings will know that analogy. Everyone else will kind of be out in the cold.
I don't care about those people. Those are people that don't deserve,
okay.
I think, our attention.
Now
so,
I get it.
Yeah. I don't mind if they don't feel welcome because
oh my goodness.
Because if you don't know who Gimli is, then... And that's
get on out of here.
You're the one with the problem. That's what I would say to them at this time. This surprises a lot of people. It surprised me when I heard it. It's likely that Jesus was not a carpenter. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Everyone says that he was.
Yeah, and
because
I thought
Joseph
so
was.
Well, Joseph was too. And it does say, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" And
mm-hmm.
you know, there is biblical in the English translations.
Uh-huh.
It's often translated carpenter, but the actual Greek means builder. So he was a builder.
Okay.
But most of the building work in that time was stone. He was a stone worker, a mason.
All right.
So if you allow that, now again, this is the Greek. So mm-hmm. if you go, it's tech something. I can't remember what the Greek word is, but it literally means builder. There is no direct Greek saying he was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
He may have been a woodworker, but it's not as likely because most people were stone workers at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, it really puts into context some of the things that Jesus said.
Okay.
He was very into, obviously, he's the rock. He's considered the rock.
Right.
He refers to Peter as a rock,
uh-huh.
For instance. He talks about, he's referred to as a stone.
Right, that the builders rejected.
A stumbling stone,
yeah.
to some.
Mm-hmm.
But he also talks about, think about it in these terms. He talks about destroying the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days.
Right.
Well, if his job is a builder, that puts that in a different light. It's literally almost a humorous light, too,
mm-hmm.
multi-layered, like a lot of things Jesus said, where he's describing giving an estimate, like, I'll rebuild this in 3 days.
Okay.
Okay, if your job is a builder, you're used to giving a quote.
Right.
Like, I'll do this work.
That's good.
But when I do it... It's going to be, there may be layers to that. There's possibilities. The truth is, he could have been a carpenter, but likely mm-hmm. wasn't. He was likely a stonemason,
okay.
which is really hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I also love the idea that it's so trans-cultural.
Mm-hmm.
Every culture, I mean, if you see the Far Side comics about cavemen, they're bonking stones together. It's
mm-hmm.
just what humans do.
Right.
Every culture in human history mm-hmm. knows what it's like to work with rocks.
And that's him.
And that's Jesus.
That's good.
It makes total sense to me. Again, you want to say he was a carpenter? That's possible. Mm-hmm. But more likely that he was actually a stoneworker. We saw some speakers who were really good at mm-hmm. the thing in Orlando that we were at, the radio convention.
Right.
We've been talking about. And I don't remember what one exactly said, but it was really good. It was about empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, empathy is something plus something.
Right.
And I don't remember what the somethings were, but I was like, that is good stuff. And I good. Thought I'd pass it along.
Well, I'm glad it resonated with you to the point that it stayed in your mind, and now you're giving it back. So yeah, what is it again? What's the equation?
I can't remember exactly, but it was empathy mm-hmm. is something plus something else. And when I remember what those somethings are, mm-hmm. it is powerful.
It's going to impact every part of your life.
You're going to get chills. It's that good. So
be on the lookout for that.
Just thought I'd share that with you. And go ahead and you can tweet that if you want.
Empathy. But just one more time. Can you give
empathy,
it?
Empathy, yeah. Empathy equals something plus something.
Okay.
And it was really good. It was all written out. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whoa,
the great
that's
slide.
Good stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @BrantHanson and on the web @BrantHanson.com.